Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the conference call organized by Central Depository Services (India) Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the interactive mode. If you're traveling or in a crowded place, please mute your line by pressing star six. To unmute your lines, you may press star and six again. For operator assistance, you may enter star and zero. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nilesh Kittur from CDSL. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the CDSL conference call. The management team is represented by Mr. Girish Amesara, CFO of CDSL, Mr. Ramkumar, Head of Business Development and Operations, and Mr. Sunil Alvares, MD and CEO of CDSL Ventures Limited. Now, I request the operator to open the floor for discussion.
Nilesh ji, can you hear me? Is my voice
okay
to you?
Yes, we are able to hear.
Thank you, Girish sir, Sunil sir, and Mr. Ramkumar for taking out your time and for this interactive session. I am also joined by my colleague, Ms. Pooja Ahuja. She works jointly with me on BFSI sector. And our Head of Research and Group Strategy Head, Mr. Dipankar Chaudhary, is also trying to get connected. So, you know, sir, yet again, thanks for taking out time. The idea of reaching out to you was to, you know, hear more about CDSL, simply because we've been hearing you on the con call, you know, since the time we started covering. Briefly, sir, I have, you know, we can divide this discussion into three, four parts. One is more on, you know, we've always talked about CDSL as a market infrastructure instrument. And in the last con call, you spoke about things like account aggregator opportunity, opportunity on the payment bank side and the gold exchange opportunity. So that's one thing which I would want to understand from you in more detail. The second thing would be trying to understand the drivers for the capital market link business activities. And the third would be to understand more about the corporate or the annual issue charges link segment. So that's broadly three things which I would want to hear out from you, sir. And I would, you know, we can pick up anything which we can start with, and I have questions within each of these segments. Hello?
Yeah.
So, Nileji, I think, sure. So let me just put it this way. Starting with the opportunity that lays ahead for CDSL in terms of account aggregators or payment bank or gold exchange, could you just run us through how each of this revenue segment, you know, what is it that goes into this revenue segment? CDSL's preparedness towards the same, how will the P&L look as and in this revenue line items start? Some more color on each of these things would really help.
So, Girish here. See, right now, we don't have any business on payment bank in CDSL.
Right.
And if you ask about future, we will not be able to make any future comment as to how it will look like. And Ramkumar, are you there? Can you explain on the gold?
And explain on the gold. Once you finish, now I will talk about gold.
So, I have told them about the payment bank that currently we don't have this business line, and we will not make any comment on how future will look like. So you can now go ahead and explain them the gold part.
Sure. Girish sir, can I just take up a question on payment bank before I request Ramkumar sir? So
ask question by question, so each of us will know whom to answer. I mean, who should be answering.
Okay. Fair. Yeah, Ramkumar sir, please.
No, you can finish with that bank, the payment bank. Girish sir will answer, and then maybe once you talk about gold, then I will come in terms of answering.
Fair. Okay. Thank you for that. So, Girish sir, you spoke about nothing at this juncture, but could you help us understand how that infrastructure as a whole will move? You know, when you talk about payment bank, you know, it also calls for some kind of regulatory approval from RBI. What is it that CDSL will play as a role when it comes to payment bank? Is our competitor already into that space? So let's not talk about revenue and opportunity. That's something which you know, is some distant away, but at least how the infrastructure of this payment bank would work through.
So currently we are into discussion internally between the management. As and when there is any opportunity to be discussed with at a public forum, we'll have that discussion. So right now I don't have anything to comment on this.
Sure, sir. But I'm sorry to kind of again ask you this question, but how would
but
the
Alok, yeah, I cannot discuss that point as of now.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah?
Fair.
Please.
Fair. Okay. Point taken, sir. I will not kind of get into that instrument or opportunity. Ram Kumar, sir, you had something to speak about gold exchange.
In gold, no, there are two channels in terms of gold or bullion depository rather. Instead of gold, we'll call it bullion. In the IFSC space, that is in Gandhinagar, that gold depository as a system, it is ready. We are waiting for an official date to be announced by the authority there, that is IFSC authority. And then we'll be going live with the gold depository. As to what date it would be is something that I would not be aware as of now, because as and when we get instructions, we will be making a press release, and so will the authority be making. And then from that time onwards, we'll start the bullion depository as far as IFSC is concerned. This is one part. Second is, in the last quarter meeting in SEBI, the SEBI board had decided that in Indian market also, we'll be having spot gold ecosystem. So there also the depository means CDSL will be playing a role of being a gold depository. There presently it is only gold that is being spoken about as far as that SEBI board decision is concerned. So in Indian market, it will be gold depository that we'll be talking about. So this we are working on with SEBI in terms of looking at the nitty-gritties as to how the ecosystem in terms of the depository system should be put in place. So once we are somewhere nearby, then we will be, of course, be announcing to the market as to from what date the gold spot exchange and the gold ecosystem will be launched under the guidance of SEBI. So this answers the gold depository part that you were mentioning.
Sure, sir. One is gold spot exchange and second is gold depository. Gold repository.
So, no, both are seen in both the places. It is a gold depository that we will be interested in or we are working on.
Okay.
Gold exchange is where the trades will take place. So, that is not something that is done by us. That is done by the exchanges.
Okay.
So, in both the places, it is depository that we are talking about. In India, it will be gold depository. In IFSC, it will be bullion depository. Because in IFSC, there is gold as well as silver that will be offered on day one whenever we start. And in India, it will be only gold that will be offered on day one when we start.
Sure. Okay. So from an infrastructure point of view, sir, are we ready for, you know, going live whenever we get a go-ahead from the respective regulatory?
No, respective from IFSC, yes. As I mentioned earlier, IFSC, we are ready to go live on the date specified by the regulator there, that is IFSC authority.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Indian situation is concerned, as I mentioned, we are working on the nitty-gritty, so it might take some time for us to make a comment on how, when we'll be starting. And on that date, obviously, the day we start, it will be with that we are ready with everything. That is why we have decided that we'll be starting.
Okay. And from for my academic understanding, what will be the key difference between IFSC bullion and domestic gold repository? Is it just that
in terms of
in
terms of working or the workflow process, it will be same. There won't be difference. But in terms of the operational aspects, there could be some differences. And why I'm saying differences is because it is always possible that what is being practiced in IFSC may or may not be practiced in the same way in India. But whether there is a difference or it is same or it is similar is something that we will not be able to tell now, because the Indian depository system is still in the process of being evolved in terms of us discussing the nitty-gritty. So that is something that we cannot comment as of now as to whether it will be exactly same or similar or it will be vastly different.
I think the only difference would be the type of investors in the IFC space. You will have FPIs and other eligible investors like NRIs will be permitted. Okay, so that's the major difference so far as the investor, you know, is concerned.
Yeah, okay. So differentiation is one of the. Now, when you speak about differentiation, sir, okay, let me put it this way. One, from a competition point of view, will all the depositories be allowed to participate into both of these exchanges?
In IFSC, it is only one depository, bullion depository.
Okay.
That will be operational. So that is a joint effort between all the MIIs. All the MIIs means NSE, BSE, then MCX, then NSDL and CDSL. Presently, the company is run as a subsidiary, wholly owned subsidiary of CDSL. Soon, it will be transferred to this consortium of five companies. That is point number one. Point number two is, as far as the Indian space is concerned, yes, both the depositories would be there in terms of handling the customers who would want to have, want to keep gold in the electronic form, in the DMAT.
Right. Okay. So that speaks about the existence of one or more depositories. And now when I look at the P&L of this revenue, you know, if really you could put some light to it. Will that be something mirroring what we do in terms of annual research charges or the capital market business? You know, from say an EBITDA point of view or from...
Would you like to take this call? Future looking statements we cannot make.
That's
what we have not decided as yet. But generalized statements, if Girish can make, I don't know whether it will be possible.
No, we cannot make generalized statements for future. Basically, we will not make any futuristic statements.
Sir, let me just put my question another way. I'm not really asking for futuristic, but I'm just trying to understand how the margin profile could look like. You know, so not really numbers to it, but because this is going to be more of regular activity and not a corporate issuance related kind of activity, would it be safe to say there could be some parallels between the capital market link business that we see here in the cash segment and the bullion or the gold segment that we are talking about here?
Yeah, look, the point is that we have not yet finalized anything. The moment we say something, it's a forward-looking statement on this. So either which way, either you say the statement this way or the other way, the very fact that we say it is what we are going to do. Which comes to the same thing what we are trying say, there's no future looking statements which we can make.
Fair, okay. But this really helps me get some more clarity on the gold exchange and the opportunity that lies there. The third thing, sir, I was trying to understand is more on the account aggregator platform, where, you know, that was being briefly touched upon in the last earnings phone call. Now, clearly, what we see and what we also wrote in our IC report was that you get benefited because of the pool of data that you carry with you in terms of clientele. Now, how does the account aggregator as an infrastructure work? So not really getting into P&L and stuff, but the operational part of it. Hello? Hello?
Who would like to, you would want me to take the question? Girish and Sunil?
Yeah, take it.
Yeah, Ramkumar, you can take the
question. Sir, you are saying that in this, your question, if you can just put it in a short, this thing, no? Then I can maybe probably.
I'll just put it very simply, sir. How do you look at the account aggregator opportunity?
So, see, account aggregator, na, there is one thing. Is account aggregator as a, what do you say, as an entity or as a concept is under the regulation of RBI. That is point number one. Point number two is there is also an account opening, account aggregator regulations issued by RBI a few years back, maybe 5-6 years back. Third point is, as a depository, we are not into the account aggregation space as on date. If at all we were to be into that space, it has to be through a separate company, because that is what the requirement of asset aggregator guidelines are or regulations are. Whole point is, we are having a consolidated account statement, concept of consolidated account statement, which is nothing but pooling together the DMAT statement, the statements of all the DMAT accounts across both the depositories and the mutual funds that you hold in statement of account form. So we are in the process of discussing with the other regulators to see whether we can have the data related to the other assets which are regulated by those entities to be part of CAT. That is consolidated account statement. So this will give a investor who wants a consolidated account statement across assets held through various types of entities handled by or regulated by different regulators in one statement. So that would be the closest we can come to in terms of asset aggregation.
But if I understand your P&L right, sir, there's already an element of statement-related income, the cash statement-related income.
Correct. So that that is presently accumulation of DMAT accounts across both the depositories and the mutual fund holdings held through statement of account form through any of these RTAs, the two RTAs basically, CAM and KFIN, which are handling all the mutual funds of all the AMCs. So presently, CAS includes only these three data. We are looking at assets which are outside of these.
Okay. But that's something which really sounds to be long drawn, because when you talk about assets, it could be, you know, all possible assets including insurance and stuff like that.
Correct, correct. But it will be a long drawn process, you rightly said, because we need to take approval from the regulator's concern.
And you really need to get a database, because even as we speak, the insurance business, which is a seemingly huge opportunity for us, it really hasn't kicked off to an extent which it possibly should be. Because when I look at insurance numbers that get reported by you, they somehow get hidden in our P&L. So when you talk about account aggregators and aggregating all assets, it would include something like even a basic of insurance plus assets, other physical and fixed assets.
No, there are a different way of looking at it. One is that assets which are controlled by the Ministry of Finance and assets which are outside of Ministry of Finance. So whatever is in the Ministry of Finance, because we are also indirectly governed by Ministry of Finance, that is far more easier to get in. As far as assets are concerned, provided or subject to the regulatory approval concern. But to go into other assets like land and jewelry and all, where the regulators are different or maybe it is unregulated, there it might be more challenging.
We have
not really thought in those lines as of.
Sure. Okay. So from all the three possible revenue opportunities that could really move the needle big time, something which looks more realistic in the near term could be more to do with the gold exchange opportunity. And within that, it could be the IFSC linked platform, right?
Opportunity in terms of how quickly we will go live?
Yes.
Correct.
The GIFT City one.
Correct.
Sure. And all the related infrastructure is put in place. It's just that we need a go ahead from SEBI. SEBI is the regulator, right there, sir?
No, sir. If for IFSC, regulator is IFSC Authority. That is International Financial Services Centers Authority.
Yes, okay.
That is based out of GIFT City in Gandhinagar.
Sure, okay. Fair, okay. Okay, this is... Now, sir, the reason why we've been trying to understand here is that when I look at our current P&L, there is excessive amount of revenue, which is capital market linked revenue opportunity. And as an analyst or as an investor, it really gets difficult to put into numbers on how FY23-24 and years thereon could look like. So we're just trying to see what are the incremental revenue opportunities, which one can de-risk the volatility that we see in revenue from capital market activities, and two is add more to the overall revenue growth.
Girish sir, if you would like to answer that.
You know, he's just saying, he's just narrating what he's understood. So you can go ahead, Alok, you can go ahead.
Fair. Having spoken about this, sir, more on the mutual fund side, Sunil sir, for you on the CDSL venture part. Could you just put some light on, you know, how is it that the competition is looking up in when it comes to the revenue stream on the CDSL venture side, sir?
No, what do you mean that the competition is looking up? I mean,
so, you know, are we able to grow at the same pace at which the number of folios are moving upwards? I mean, you know, sorry for my incomplete knowledge, I would say, but who are the competitors to us in the CDSL ventures business part? I believe CAMS has some element of it.
See, so far as CDSL ventures are concerned, we are the first and the largest KRA. Okay, almost 60 to 65% of the KYC records would be with us. We believe this based on the DMAT accounts which are opened, okay, and the number of KYCs which are done through us. There is no information available in the public domain. Point number two is our competitors are CAMS, CARVI, NDML, and NSE.x. So these are the various players, and all of them are equally strong players. So we do compete, for the same KYC records. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. But sir, when you kind of speak about, now when I look at the market share on the DMAT side, you are a number closer to 60-65% on an incremental basis. Oh, sorry, on an overall basis, on an incremental basis, you could be even higher. But when it comes to largest KRA, are these numbers reconciling with each other? Or there could be a difference because someone could go with CAMS or CARVI, and or that's obviously not the right way of looking at this business?
Obviously, that's not the right way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
An investor could open his account in CDSL, but he would have done his existing KYC through CAMS because he must have first invested in a mutual fund. Okay, and now he's opening a DMAT account. So the KYC record could be anywhere, or he could be opening a fresh KYC record. Typically, in case he's opening a fresh KYC record and opening a DMAT account in CDSL, then most likely, I would say the chances are that his KYC record comes to CDSL.
Sure, sir. And sir, just a small request. Can you also put a small slide on some numbers, especially on the P&L side in the presentation? Like you do put a lot of numbers on how the CDSL venture has done so in terms of KYCs and KRAs and stuff. But the P&L numbers, because at times it really gets difficult to put all those numbers in one place. So just a small request from our side, if it could be a possibility.
We'll discuss this internally and take a call.
Right, sure. And a question to Girish sir, and maybe Sunil sir, you also, you know, I did hear some of the con calls that you had with investors and analysts. You clearly have mentioned that at all point in time, the dividend payout will always be in that sweet zone of 60% or so. And you also spoke about the net worth requirement, which limits your, I won't say ability, but the reason why you won't necessarily go out for buyback. But at a 235 crores of minimum net worth requirement, does that also take into consideration the net worth requirement, if any, on the payment bank side and or the account aggregator side?
So, Alok,
The minimum net worth that we that is prescribed for all of our subsidiaries and CDSL put together, along with secured liabilities, is around 235 crore. Our net worth is roughly more than 600 crore,
right.
And the dividend payout ratio that we have informed on all the investor calls is at 60%, and will continue to maintain that 60% payout ratio. With respect to the network that we have, you know, we have been explaining to all the investors that we need a very good balance sheet when we represent for any projects. Okay. And we also have recently started making investment in GIFT City, IFSC GIFT City. Mm-hmm. So we'll continue what we are doing right now. And whatever suitable decision is taken by the board, we'll inform the investors.
Sure. Appreciate that, sir. You know, a question now to Girish sir. You know, would you kind of not really put a number to it, but the way we've been seeing margins behave, what could be a more realistic number when it comes to margins, say on a standalone business and also on a consolidated basis?
Margin on a standalone basis, just a moment. Huh? You are asking on quarterly or you are asking on this?
Yeah, on a quarter-on-quarter basis, what is a realistic number that you think is sustainable? Because now when I look at margin profile, you know, it's been kind of a lot more volatile. The standalone is anywhere between 60 to 70. And the console is a number.
So we had closed a quarterly net profit of 68 crores on a standalone basis.
Right.
And on a consolidated basis, we had closed a net profit of 86 crore.
Right.
In September.
Right, sir. No, I'm trying to understand the margin profile. So when I look at the standalone business, the margins have kind of held up well between 60 to 65-67%. But when it comes to consolidated, it's even been to a number lower at 39% in Q1 of FY20 to as recent as 68% in Q2 of FY22. So do you really want to put a number to it? Or
I need to check this because I don't have those details handy yet. This point in time, I think you are comparing quarter to quarter.
So I'm looking at the EBITDA margin as an absolute percentage number. So if I put it this way, sir, my consolidated EBITDA margin was at 99 crore, which is steadily moved upward. But when I look at that as a percentage terms, it was something like 49% 6 quarters back, and it's now to 68%. For the last reported quarter. So I'm just trying to understand, is there more, what is it that is driving the volatility in the margin profile? Is it that
Alok, I need to get back on this. I need to understand your question thoroughly and then I can revert on this.
Fair, sir. Okay.
Huh?
Yeah, that helps. I think those were broadly my questions, sir. I'm done with my set of questions. And I think we are done with our set of questions, sir. Yeah. Girish sir, Sunil sir, Ram Kumar sir, I'm done with my set of questions. Hello?
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
So we can close the call, right?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Central Depository Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.